The Wharton Center announced its 2016-17 season last week, and among the Broadway tours coming to East Lansing is one co-written by one of our own. Fun Home, which won multiple Tonys last year, including Best Musical, was written by composer Janine Tesori and mid-Michigan native Lisa Crone. When the musical stop in East Lansing was announced, Lisa came by the WKAR studios to chat with our fine arts reporter, Jamie Paisley. Last week, we aired part one of the interview, which dealt more with Lisa Crone's personal background. You can hear part one online. And for the conclusion of the interview, we now dive more deeply into Fun Home, the musical. A brief warning, there is an acknowledgement about the existence of sex in this interview.
Fun Home is theater in the round, mm-hmm. which people, if they don't know, it's that the stage is in the center and the audience is essentially providing the walls of the house.
Yeah.
But for the 30-city tour that's coming, including right. to the Wharton Center at Lansing,
yeah.
it's proscenium-ized. Have you been involved in kind of making it into the traditional stage separation?
Right. Well, it started out as a presentational proscenium show. That's how we workshopped it. We did an early lab that was in that format, and then our run at the Public Theater was also in a proscenium. And so, our director, Sam Gold, who won a Tony for his direction of this, I mean, it's really amazing to watch him work, our designers also. And I think Sam's specialty is intimacy, is creating intimacy. And one of the great pleasures of working in theater and getting to work, as I have been so lucky to work with some of the most accomplished people working in the theater, is to watch mastery, you know, and Sam Gold is a master of that kind of staging, of figuring out how to put something in a configuration so that the audience feels intimately connected with it. So, he keeps calling this version that we're working on now, going back into the proscenium for the tour, the greatest hits version. You know, he's taking what he learned doing it in a smaller space, what he learned doing it on the big stage at the Newman, what he learned at Circle in the Square and the Round, and he's taking those greatest hits and making this version that's going to tour, and we're really excited about that.
You don't also in the musical shy away from sex as just an entity, because it's particularly for LGBT people, that can be a very daunting thing. It's
right.
like this culmination of this is not what most people do, but it's also something I'm very interested in. And you don't shy away from sex as just an entity into itself, as opposed to the romantic version, which a lot
right.
of people.
Well, sex is something I think most people do. And I mean, it's been very interesting to... I mean, I think a couple things about it. I think that's right. I mean, I think part of the story of Fun Home is the story of, you know, Allison's father, Bruce, who couldn't integrate his sexual self into the rest of his life. And then Allison, who did. And I think there's also a way that in representations of lesbians have been sort of desexualized. But it's very interesting to watch the audience watch that scene in particular, that dorm room scene, because surprisingly to me, in a way, you know, we're in this, you know, Broadway theater, and it's in the round, and so we have traditional Broadway audiences. You know, it's a mixed audience, but I would say largely straight audience, many, you know, older couples, you know, the kind of people who go to Broadway. And because it's in the round, you can see everybody. And there's something about those first scenes that happen in the dorm room where the college-age Allison and Joan connect, where there are those sparks between them and that awkwardness of, I've never done this before, how do I do this? The way the audience connects to that in a direct way is so surprising. Because the form of the piece is slightly unusual. Sometimes people connect to it at different points in the beginning, but I would say always that's the scene where everybody is in it and on board. And I think it's because those feelings of trying to figure out for the first time. I mean, one of the things I wanted to put into those scenes was awkwardness and goofiness and not knowing something. And everybody knows that. Everybody knows what that feels like to just be know that that there's this you know, magnetic pull that you can't understand, and you're sort of moving around like a puppet and you don't know what to do. And you know, I just think, well, it's very gratifying to see how completely everyone identifies with that.
Joan, I feel like Hercules. Oh God, that sounds ridiculous. Just keep on sleeping through this and I'll work on calming down. So by the time you've woken up, I'll be cool, I'll be collected, and I'll have found some dignity. But who needs dignity? Cause this is so much better. I'm radiating happiness. Will you stay here with me for the rest of...
In addition, there's the voice that I think maybe Alice and Bechdel didn't really incorporate a whole lot into, but you give that specific moment almost an 11th hour number of Helen
and
her experience, because she's very much her own living character as well.
Right. Yeah, Helen, Allison's mother. Well, then Allison followed up Fun Home by writing a whole book about her mother called Are You My Mother? You know, I think for us it was very important that the play not do to that character what in a certain way Bruce had done, which was to sort of use her to create this version of traditional middle-class family life. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to find out what was, you know, what that was like for her. We wanted to make sure that we showed that this was a woman who made a choice, and she made a choice for a reason, even though that caused her pain, and to give her a moment to express the specificity of her grappling with her choices, to give her the same kind of specificity that we gave to her daughter and to her husband.
That's how it happens. Days and days and days, made of lunches and car rides and shirts and socks and braids and piano. And no one clocks the day you disappear. Days and days and days, that's how it happens.
When the Tonys happened, and obviously the accolades started coming in, the prizes coming in, there was one actually moment that didn't get televised, you know, the creative arts section when you won Best Book.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about the different rooms of Broadway.
Right.
For many, many years, I have had a recurring dream, and I don't mean a metaphorical dream. I don't mean a Martin Luther King dream. I mean an actual while I'm sleeping dream, that I suddenly discover that the apartment I live in has a whole bunch of rooms that I didn't know were there. And I'm like, how did I not know about all these rooms? And I've been thinking about that dream as I've been thinking about this amazing Broadway season, because we all live in this big house. And we've all been sitting in the same one or two main rooms and thinking that this was the whole house. And this season, some lights got turned on in some other rooms. And we're all like, oh my God, this house is so much bigger than I thought. We're like, I didn't know that we had a garden. I didn't know we had a freaking ballroom. This pantry is full of food. I had no idea. The thing is, all those other rooms have always been there, and there have always been really interesting people in them doing ravishing things. And wouldn't it be so great if after this season, we didn't all just go back into the living room?
Well, first of all, I just want to say it wasn't the different rooms of Broadway. What I meant to say was the different rooms of theater in general. So I was what I really wanted to acknowledge was that theater takes place everywhere. It takes place here in, you know, Lansing and East Lansing. It takes place in Detroit. It takes place in off and off-Broadway theaters. And so I wanted to, you know, bring all of that.
What's the next place to be explored? That is it transgender, since that's certainly something that's...
You know, I...
Because there's the film Tangerine. That's the transgender opening of doors that's happening right now as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of... There's Transparent. There's just a musical at the Public called Southern Comfort that was based on the documentary Southern Comfort. I mean, there's a lot of trans stuff happening. You know, I think that theater is always about empathy and about the difficulty of empathy and the difficulty of seeing kinds of people you haven't seen before. I mean, I think one of the things that sometimes happens for people when they come see Fun Home, if they don't know a lot of LGBT people, particularly if they've never seen lesbians, hold the center of a stage like that, is that when they leave, all of a sudden, there's a whole new part of the world that's visible to them. That's what theater can do. I would have to say that's why, you know, having outsider voices in the theater is particularly dynamic in the theater, because it helps us to see that which we didn't see before. So what those next frontiers are, who we haven't seen, I would say that I don't actually know necessarily who they are. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see who's going to make theater that shows me something that I never saw before.
Maps show you what is simple and true. Try laying out a bird's eye view. Not what he told you, just what you see. What do you know that's not your dad's mythology? Dad was born on this farm. Here's our house.
Here's Lisa Carone is the co-creator of the musical Fun Home, based on the graphic novel by Alison Bechtel. The musical won several 2015 Tonys, including Best Book, Best Score, Best Leading Actor, Best Director, and Best Musical of the Year. Fun Home was just announced as coming to East Lansing as part of the Wharton Center's 2016-17 season. You can find more about that season at whartoncenter.com, as well as more about the musical itself at funhomebroadway.com. For Current State, I'm Jamie Paisley.